Mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I love the last couple of verses in this section. Jesus says, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go from here. Now Jesus again is breaking the news of them about the cross, though they don't understand that's what he's talking about. He's just telling them he's going to leave them, he's going to send the Holy Spirit, all that he talks about. But I was thinking about the scripture this morning and about the fact that every one of us have the privilege of allowing the Lord to tell his version of his story through our unique lives. I got a text from somebody last night who was having to fly somewhere, and they just texted me and said, Bishop, pray for me. I'm having a hard time abiding because our plane got delayed an hour. We're having to spend the night in Atlanta. We won't get home. And I understand that. So I just wrote him back. I said, just remember that Jesus has got peace about this, and it's not your story. You're in Christ, and your story's now been united to his, and it's now sanctified, but it gets unsanctified when you try to take it back and demand that you have your story. And so people talk about doing the will of God, and all of us as believers, that's a central thing in our lives. And I'll often have people, well, their attitude will be, well, I'm doing it. But they don't like it that they're doing it. And I don't think that counts. Jesus, who we're in union with, is our example and our very life. And it says about him prophetically in Psalm 40, verse 8, that he delighted to do his Father's will. I think that's part of what it meant, that even in his suffering at the cross, because of the joy set before him. I think the joy set before him was our redemption, our new creation. But also think it was pleasing the Father, doing the Father's will. That's what he says here. And I love his disposition because he says earlier in his chapter, he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. But love, like if Olivia were to say to me, Chuck, I just need you to stay home tonight and hang out with me. And I go, okay, I'll cancel some stuff. And I'm home with her and I'm like going, she goes, what's wrong? I'm going, well, I'm home with you. I don't really like it, but I'm here. I'm obedient to your heart's desire. I don't think it would count. And I think God wants us to delight to do his will in every area of our life. It's his story. And therefore, he's telling his story, and it involves things that other people do that I have no control over. I mean, he's directing the play of his life and my life, and he allows sketchy characters and sketchy decisions and stuff going around me, but doesn't change my story. He just involves it into the story and causes all things to work together for good, and his story being told through my story. And so what he says, when he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, it doesn't mean that I'm just going to have warm feelings for him while I drag my feet doing this thing that I really don't want to do, but I'm doing it because I'm obedient. This is what he says. He says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, I do. And the grammar here would be, I do exactly. Jesus said, you think about, why did Jesus go to the cross? Well, he went to the cross because for the redemption of mankind. He went to the cross to set us free from this demonic, evil, supernatural virus called sin. But first and foremost, he went to the cross, his attitude says, he wanted the whole world to know how much he loved his Father. That he did what he was commanded to do. And I believe that's one of the reasons he did what he did with joy set before him. He wanted the whole world to know how much he loved the Father. Now, to me, that's doing God's will. Again, that's not only our example. We're in union with that person. And we have the ability to say yes to that disposition of surrender and obedience. That's what I mean. I think he's saying earlier to them, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and let me show you what that looks like. I'm going to go through all of this. He's commanded me, and I'm going to do it with a disposition that I want the whole world to know how much I love him. And I think it's because of that in his humanity he could say that even though the ruler of the world's coming, he's got no place in me. We give place to the enemy when we do God's will reluctantly, with attitude. When we do God's will because we want the whole world to know how much we love him, I believe the enemy has no place. He can't impact or influence. I just think that's really powerful. And one of the things I pray is that whatever it might be, so maybe the whole world's not watching. I use this analogy, but when Livia asked me at 2:30 in the morning, would you mind going and get me a cookie out of the kitchen, that I would want the whole heavenly host to know how much I love him. But in terms of what happens when I do my stuff, I want the whole world to know that my obedience is not something I must do, I have to do, but I delight to do. And I want the whole world to know how much I love him. And that there's this firewall. There's a thing when you have that kind of heart where there are just some things that the enemy can't touch. And I believe that's what part of what that's all saying right there. Jesus was showing them what he was telling them. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.